listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have saxophonist extraordinaire Ali Fabes. Did I say your last name correct? Is that right?
You did. Woo-hoo! I said it correctly.
You know what? I was like, it could be Fabes. It could be Fabes. You know, you never know on this town.
Yeah,
so we linked up because of Susie Sostrin. How do you know Susie? You have to tell me that first, because we didn't get to have this conversation at NAMM.
Yeah, so crazy story. So I went to the University of Kansas, and Susie was actually working at the University of Oklahoma, and my sister was one of her students.
Wow.
And then a year later, she starts working at the University of Kansas. We finally get to meet and become close, and then 3 years later, I'm working for her. And so I was working for her for the last 2 years during the pandemic.
So when I announced we were playing NAMM and doing, you know, this little NAMM booth, she sent me a message. She's like, I don't know if you have time, but here's this amazing saxophonist that you have to meet. And I'm like, of course, let's meet. Let's do this. And NAMM, I'm sure, was it your first year at NAMM, or was it like, have you done it a couple times?
Second year.
Every time I go to NAMM, it is you either stumble on people that you didn't think you would run into, or you never see the people that you're intending to meet, because it is such a circus and it's like people are intercepting you left and right, as I'm sure you kind of went through with this experience.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was super overwhelmed the first time I went. That was like pre-COVID I went. So
Wow. First
time I was just overwhelmed and like, oh my God, there's hundreds of thousands of people here. I could say hi. I don't have to say hi. There's so many things on the show floor. And I just like, yeah, I couldn't even get my head straight as to like schedules or what was going on. So yeah, super duper crazy. But I'm glad we finally get to meet here.
I know. This is a cool way to do it too. So I wanted to ask you, as a saxophonist, do you go to like all the saxophone brands and kind of like look at, I mean, the technology can't change too much with some of those instruments because it's already advanced almost to its full capacity. But I'm sure there are little things that, you know, little advancements in maybe, you know, mouthpieces or reeds or something. So tell me, like, what do you look for when you go, or, you know, is that one of the things you look forward to?
Yeah. So I'm actually never, ever satisfied when it comes to gear or tech or anything. And I'm sure everyone can, you know,
yes,
kind of be with that and, you know, empathize with that. I'm always looking for a new sound, as crazy as that sounds. So most of my life, and I got a degree in classical saxophone, so everything had to be a certain way and a certain sound. And I was very set in that way for a really long time. And then after college, I discovered, oh, wait a minute, saxophonists can play jazz and rock and pop and things that, you know, people never told me about, or I never really decided to look at. And so now I'm like very interested in new sounds, and there's no such thing as the right sound. So as far as gear is concerned, I'm always looking for the next best thing. My wallet's not so happy with me about that, but I'm always, always checking out every booth, every artist, everything I can look for, and see what they have to say. And then I'll try testers and yeah, always looking for the next best thing.
I love that. I hope you never lose that, because I'm like an old man on the side of the spectrum where, you know, like I remember being bright eyed and bushy tailed and going to NAMM and just being so overwhelmed in the best way. And now I'm on the other side where I'm like, oh my God, it's loud in here. Oh my God, there's too much going on. But I still always share that with you, that I always love gear and seeing how the tech changes, seeing how instruments change, seeing how, you know, I had a friend that works at Rhodes, and, you know, Rhodes hasn't really made Rhodes keyboards really since the 70s and 80s. That's when they stopped. And they started making new versions of the Rhodes. And man, they made so many cool advancements. I was like so thrilled. I was like, this is amazing. This is like unbelievable on so many levels. But you don't always see that because some things, you know, don't progress in the same way. But I love that you have that kind of outlook. We actually have a parallel because I studied classical voice in college.
Okay.
So I know you know how regimented it is and how, like, you know, it can be a little too confining just in the space of classical music. So I know that, like, sense of wonder that you have with other styles. Tell me, like, this is something I just am asking for my own benefit. When you first got exposed to, like, jazz music, or maybe it's funk, even, like, newer, you know, pop music, what was it that made it so exciting for you?
It was the freedom, to be completely honest. So, you know, classical saxophone is still a fairly new, if saxophone itself is a fairly new instrument still in the classical world. It's, right. It's maybe about 100 years old, not even. And so when you're playing classical music, as you know, there's a lot of rules. There's a lot of things that we're told not to do. And especially as saxophone players, we're not allowed to explore even, you know, being loud or playing a certain way, or, you know, you have to use vibrato every chance you get. And the freedom that I was able to have playing jazz, playing rock, playing pop, I remember, you know, wailing or growling. I'm allowed to do that? Like, whoa, like, that's crazy. So I just, yeah, really the freedom is what I fell in love with. I fell in love with there's no right way or wrong way to play. It's your interpretation, which is really refreshing, as opposed to, like, classical, modern classical saxophone music.
Well, and it's also cool that you studied classical, because there's not a lot, like you said, it's like when you think of classical music, you think of the Baroque periods, the Romantic periods, the classical period. And what's interesting about saxophone, like you said, there's a lot of parts that you're not, you know, pieces that you're not playing because there are no parts. So if I were a saxophonist, I would just be running to jazz, because it is a lead instrument. It is not tucked in the back like a lot of classical compositions, or, you know, neoclassical, I should say. But who was the player or players or saxophonist in general that really inspired you and became major influences for you?
Yeah, so it's got to be Charlie Parker is my number one.
We are so parallel. He's my favorite. He's my favorite.
So down. I've been living,
get it.
Living in Kansas City, you know, this is his home, his birthplace. There's a gorgeous, like, statue of his face, right by where I live.
Oh, that's awesome.
Love him. Started playing. He has that Omni book that I've been playing since I was, I'd say, 14, but never took it seriously. And then after college, I just never put it down. Charlie Parker, John Coltrane. As far as modern players, I'm a huge Josh Redman fan.
Oh, he's awesome. He's awesome.
Oh, my God. He's awesome.
I met him when I was working at Guitar Center like 20 years ago, and he gave me free tickets to see him play. And he came up to me afterwards and we talked for a while. And I was just like, this guy is such a badass musician and such a kind soul that it's like, I'm sure you've either met him at masterclasses or gigs. He's just, well, it'll come. It'll come.
I never met him. I would love to.
He's the nicest. And he's, you know, he's like one of the people that you know, you meet a lot of people in this industry and you remember the ones that are the kindest. And he's one of the people that I remember as being one of the kindest people I've ever met. And then he goes and he just shreds. So, oh my God, I love Joshua Redman. Keep going. Who else?
Let's see. I did a masterclass with Anat Cohen.
Oh, nice.
She is my number one, like, heart, love, soul. I love her. I love the fact that she's a woman player. I love the fact that she's we're both Jewish, and that's like very important. And, you know, I love her. I could go on and on for days about her. And then I actually went to, I saw Corey Wong live, and he has a full horn section.
I love him.
And it's Kenny Holman, Eddie Barbash, and I think it's Sam Greenfield. Oh my God. Like those players.
Slam.
They're, oh my God.
Did you see his solo tour? The one he did at the Troubadour? We were probably at the same show. Was that, were you at the Troubadour? Was it at the Troubadour? Because that's where I saw it.
I saw it in Kansas City.
Okay. Okay. All right. For some reason, I thought you live in LA now, but that makes sense. Okay. So when he played here, a friend of mine sat in with him, and I didn't even know they knew each other. And I was just like, this is unbelievable. But he is amazing, and all of his horn players are the sickest pups out there. They're just like the baddest of the cats. You know what I mean? Oh, so you love
incredible.
We have a lot of the same influences. What about Hank Mobley? Do you like Hank Mobley?
Love.
He's one of my favorites.
Oh,
I got another one that you may or may not know, Lou Donaldson. He's one of my all-time favorites. Oh,
new,
my
new
God.
Name to me.
Oh, you are going to love. You're going to remember this record, okay?
Okay.
It's called Lou Donaldson, Everything I Play is Funky. It is the most, he's one of my most slamming favorite saxophonists, and you're going to love him because his favorite player is Charlie Parker, and you're going to hear all that influence, and he's just one of my all-time favorites, and not many people know him because he's not, you know, he's not a huge player, but he's been around and played with everybody, so you're going to love Lou Donaldson. Okay, so Joshua Redman, you said Anat Cohen, you said the horn players that play with Corey, who else?
I'm trying to think. I mean, Candy Dulfer's incredible.
Yeah.
Mindy Hebert. Ugh, what a badass.
Yes.
I actually have a funny story about her. So the first time I went to NAMM, it was like the after party at the Hilton, and she was ahead of me in the bathroom, and I didn't really see the face. I just saw her name tag, and it said badass sax player, and I'm like, who is this? Like, who is this woman? And I look at her face, and the only thing, I was so starstruck, the only thing I could say was, I love you. And then I whipped her. And I was like, oh my God. I just did that. I was like, this woman probably thinks I'm crazy.
That's honestly what all musicians kind of work for. They, you know, like I always tell people this, it's like, it's great to have fans, and it's great to have people that love your work that aren't in music, and that is the best. But it is a whole nother level when musicians love your stuff because, you know, you speak the same language. You know, there's like a deeper appreciation than most people because of how much technique you have to learn, how you have to listen. All of it changes. So when musicians like, you know, like your stuff, it's like, that's it. So I'm sure she was like super flattered. She's probably like, where is that girl? I just ran in and said, I love you, and then ran away.
I was like, I ran back to my friends and I was like, you're never going to believe what I just did. And I was like so red, and it was, oh my God. Yeah. I was like, I just told Mindy Hebert I loved her and ran away. So,
well, let's go way back. So how old were you when you picked up a saxophone? Was it the first instrument you played? Was your family musically inclined? And the real question I'm asking with all of these is, what was the moment of zen that made you want to be a musician?
Yeah, so growing up, so my mom is actually an oboist. And growing up, ever since I could speak at all. She would take us to her band concerts, and she was playing in this band. So I'm from New York. So she was playing in this band in Brooklyn, and it was in the park, and we would have picnics. And I remember my dad, like anytime a Susan March would come on, I would sit in my dad's lap and he would bounce me on his legs. And it was the most fun I ever had. And then the best part would be running up to see my mom after the concert and being on stage with her. And I pointed at the saxophone and I said, I want to play that. I think I was about 6 or 7 years old. She goes, okay, you want to play the saxophone? And she goes, okay, we'll get you lessons. And everybody told her, she was a band director. All of her band director friends told her, you really need to start her on the clarinet. You really need to start her on the flute. Like, nobody starts on saxophone. You're crazy.
Right.
And she goes, well, she wants to play the saxophone, so we're going to start her on the saxophone.
Smart.
So I was 7 years old holding this 1942 Bucher that my teacher had brought me, this giant, massive thing. And he goes, okay, you're going to play through this elementary book and we'll work on it week by week. And in 1 week, I went through the entire book.
Wow.
And I said, I just want to play. I just want to keep playing.
Wow.
Yeah. And then that's when my mom knew she had her hands full.
So she didn't hold over your head like, oh, you want to play that single-reeded instrument? Because mine is a double-reeded. Yeah, those other single-reeded instruments, they're cool.
Her deal with me in high school was I had to play a double-reed. If I continued at the saxophone, I had to play a double-reed.
So did you play oboe and bassoon, any of those?
I can dabble in bassoon a little bit. Not enough to ever say I play bassoon, but enough to say to my mother, I did this for you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, the bassoon's so much cooler than the oboe. She does that.
She's like, no, it's not.
Oh, no, she knows. She knows. But, yeah, so I started playing saxophone. I was 7 years old. Was taking private lessons my whole life. And then I was getting ready for college auditions. And I met this amazing sax player. His name is Alan Wan. Played for the New York Philharmonic. Played all over the world, just an incredible guy. Started studying with him, and he goes, okay, college auditions, where do I go? I'm going to go wherever you tell me to go because I trust you and I trust what you have to say. And so I was gearing up for New York, Boston, LA, all of that. He goes, no, you're going to go to Kansas. And I went, wow. Do I have to? I don't want to go to Kansas.
Like, I don't even like basketball. Come on.
Oh, I love basketball, but yeah, I come from a family where my brother went to University of Missouri, which is a rival. My sister went to Oklahoma, and my dad went to Oklahoma State. So,
oh, man, you're hitting all the heads right there.
Yeah, so it was a little bit of a, like, she really can't go to Kansas. Like, there's beef there.
And why did he go to Kansas? Was it a school that he had gone to or done classes at?
Yeah, so his former colleague was the professor there, was a sax professor. And he said, I trust him. I trust everything that he'll teach you. And when you're ready to come back to New York, we'll work together again. And what was funny was the original path I wanted to go down was never playing. It was never performance. I always wanted to be on the business side of music. I always wanted to be a music manager, an agent, something like that. And he looked at me in the eyes and said, you can't manage people. You can't be an agent if you don't know the life of a performer. He goes, nobody will trust you. So I said, okay, I'll be a performance major. And that turned into my senior year of college. I met my bandmates and I went to them and I said, you know, let's just start a cover band. Let's start playing for money. Let's just get out of here. And they went, okay. And then 5 years later, here we are. I'm still playing. And yeah, it's been the best experience. And I'm still
the band, the Glass Bandit, right?
Glass Bandit, yeah.
So the same players, they were all in school together. And they were all just kind of, they all had the same vision. And it was very casual like that. That's amazing that it's still together 5 years out of the game. That's great.
It took a lot of... a lot of convincing and a lot of trust. And thankfully, you know, we decided to just go for it. And we said, you know, we're in our 20s. Why not? Let's just do it.
And that's really the time to do. I started my band, I think, when I was 22. And I just remember thinking nothing else mattered. Nothing else was as important. Right. It's like, and that's the time you can do it because everybody's young. And there's something about going on the road when you're young and there's just like this, let's go see the world together collectively. Like, that's one of the coolest things about being in a band is, like, you all experience the world that you're experiencing together in this little pod. And only the five or four or three or whatever it is of you, or six, whatever it is.
There's eight of us. That's crazy.
I have a six-piece band. I thought that was big. That's crazy. So,
yeah.
I mean, like, what's so cool is, like, all of you experience this amazing journey together that only the eight of you can relate to each other on. And then it's like when you're home, it's like even though you've gone through the ringer of just like being on the road and traveling, you like miss that bond. That bond is like almost like concrete because it's just so deep. It's like a marriage. It really is. That's the closest thing I can think of. It's like a marriage, you know?
Yeah. And I, yeah, it's me and 7 other boys. And
wow.
Yeah, it's the best experience.
So you definitely get your room, I hope.
Oh, always, always. I am the princess with them.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're great. And I can't imagine going through life and honestly being a musician without them. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Let's play something. What do you want to play first?
We have a song that we just, well, not just released, an EP kind of we released. It's called Good Intentions. And yeah, it's... am I playing it on my end?
No, we got it.
Okay, cool. Here's
The Glass Bandit. And what was the name of the song one more time?
Good Intentions.
Good Intentions.
Tell me if you wanna slow this down. If I don't ask you to bury, to be more than just a late night come around, baby, keep me company tonight and stick around till morning light. And when the dawn slips through the vines, I'm begging the sunshine. Side. I wanna see your face in the daylight, 'cause you're always gone before the night is through. I wanna see your soul in the sunshine, 'cause you come from the dark side. Get together. I'm overbearing advice in every move. And you might tell me it's conjecture, but darling, I just wanna see this through. Well, baby, keep me company tonight and stick around till morning light. And when the dawn slips through the blinds, I'm begging the sunshine. I wanna see your face in the daylight, 'cause your family's gone before the night is through. I wanna see your soul in the sunshine, 'cause you come from the dark side of the moon.
Your band, I love it.
Thank you very much.
The song, the recording, wow, love it all. I don't ever use those words lightly, so Yes.
Thank you.
It's awesome. I was jamming. I was just like, this is heavy. This is great. Tell me a little bit about the arrangement or the song, how it came together, the recording process. Tell me a little bit about the inspiration behind it.
Yeah. So we very much work as a team when it comes to songwriting. So whether it's a riff or a song lyric or just a vibe that we're talking about, we bring it in and we kind of build on that. I believe this one was written in about one night in like, I think a 30-minute window.
Wow.
We just kind of, some of the guys got kind of inspiration and just kept going with it. And then typically we'll write horn charts after kind of the rhythm and all the guitar parts are written. And then we just kind of build on like, okay, what do we want this song to be about? What do we want the vibe to be about? And it's very much a collective team effort.
Sounds
like as far as writing goes. And then we're very lucky that one of our guitar players is also an engineer. So we work together with him and do the recording, and it allows us to take the time we need to record and get the sound and the vibe exactly right. So very grateful for him. And yeah, this is our new baby. We have an album coming out. Yeah.
What's great is it's a very clean recording, and it also has like throwback vibes, because, you know, a lot of that music with horns, sometimes now it's like made with sounds, you know, it's like, there's a lot of bands that like, they'll either take horns and kind of distort them to make them sound a little bit different or make them kind of like EQ'd differently. So what I love is like, it has this like throwback vibe, but it has like this new sound. I mean, you guys definitely have a thing, and I hope you guys keep pushing to write songs and releasing them, because it is a grind. I know that from experience, and I'm on the other side of the spectrum. I'm like, man, I don't know how much longer I can keep making records, but I still love it. It's amazing that you guys work together. Tell me the arrangement of all the players. I know it sounded like two saxophones and a trumpet. Is that right? Or is there a trombone there too?
No, it's just a saxophone and a trumpet. I typically play alto and tenor depending on the song. And it's just one trumpet, and he uses actually effects. So that's why it sounds like it's multiple trumpets.
Yeah.
He has like this cool pedal board. I don't use pedals. They freak me out. but he uses this awesome pedal board. And then we have two guitarists, a bass, drums, and percussion and keys. So
that's
a lot of people, but kind of our inspiration is, well, at least one of my inspirations was Chicago. They're my favorite band in the whole wide world. So, sort of that old time Chicago, rock band vibe,
yeah.
Is really where, or like Blood, Sweat, and Tears or Tower of Power. That's kind of where our heads are at when we write our songs, along with like modern bands like Lawrence or Ripe, but more on that like funk fusion as opposed to like a rock or a funk. We kind of try to combine both. So
I'm going to give you a huge compliment, because I've seen Chicago live and I love them and I love their old records, but I actually like your song better than Chicago. So
thank you.
I love Chicago, but I mean, I was jamming to that. Like, I think the vocals are great. I think the arrangement, the band sound is like really what I look for in music, especially now. It's like so hard to find. I love modern sounds, and I love EDM, and I love reggae, and I love funk and rock and blues, but there's nothing like hearing a band play together and it sound tight, arranged, well composed and mixed. And it's like, usually two or three of those aren't together, and you guys have the whole thing. So it's amazing that you guys are doing this the way you're doing it. Let me ask you a question as like a younger artist, because I think about this all the time. So when I was starting out, you made CDs, you went into a studio, you made CDs, and that's what you do, and you sell them and you make vinyls or whatever. And now everything is digital. CDs are completely out of date, out of touch in a lot of ways. And you have Spotify, you have all these streaming services, and music has become like, it's almost a sin, because it's become so casual to the listener. Like, they have everything on their phone. They have everything they can ever ask for on a computer. They don't have to go out and wait in line for a new release like I used to do. You know, like there was a store called the Virgin Megastore. It's not even here anymore. And they would release new records on Tuesday night or Monday night at midnight so you could have it that Tuesday morning. You know, it's like I would go and, you know, listen to music or get the new record. How do you feel about the new climate of music and releasing it in this time?
I love it and I hate it at the same time. Sort of on the lines of what you were saying, there's no waiting anymore. The impatience is there. There's, you know, the concept of an album doesn't exist anymore, I feel like. Feel like when we're talking about like legendary albums like Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, all of those legendary albums, there was a story behind it. And I feel like they don't exist anymore. And people are just expecting single after single after single. But on the positive side, I mean, I love that my music is accessible to everyone and anyone in the world. And we are on any and every streaming platform you can imagine. And we're on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram and anything that is accessible. But the attention span aspect is they get bored very quickly and it's on to the next thing. And so I love it and I hate it. I love it
as a listener and you hate it as an artist.
yes, exactly. Like I love like concept albums and I love the idea that there are stories behind songs and reasonings behind songs. And I haven't seen that in a really long time. Glass Bandit at least is striving to bring that kind of back. And like we are releasing an album soon. And we're trying to have that concept album of like, there's a story behind every song and there's a reason things are in order here. And it's not just because we found these songs that sound good together, you know? So there's good and bad. Like you said, as a listener, I love it. As an artist, I absolutely hate it.
Well, you know, there's two sides to it. It's like, you know, whenever I make a record, I always find the album artwork is a big part of the concept and then the liner notes. And like, I still buy records and you can see there's like box sets and records and CDs all around because I love listening to music and I love that experience of opening a record. And now it's like, you know how many people send me music or show me music on a cell phone? And I'm like, listen, if this matters to you, send it to me on an email so I'll listen to it on great speakers and experience your record the way it should be. And so many people are like, no, just here, play it on your phone on this shitty little speaker. And it's like, what? This is crazy. But that is the time. It's like, it's all about this convenience so that the listener can listen to anything at any time, you know?
Well, and it created this sort of craziness in the whole music business itself. So now I'm an artist who doesn't need a label, who doesn't need a manager, who doesn't need a booking agent, who doesn't need anything. And I can have my music just as accessible as Justin Bieber or Billie Eilish or whoever. And it's weird and it's crazy to think about that. Who was it? Was it Chance the Rapper was like the first person to win all these awards and a Grammy without a label.
Right.
And you don't need that anymore. And all the work that the executives or the business people would do for you, the artists have to do themselves now. And it's like double the work. You have to now create content on top of the album work that you're doing. So if your TikToks aren't catchy, doesn't matter. If you're not following the trends on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever it is, it's crazy how much more work the artist is doing and less work there is on that business front, the like labels and yeah, it's
you just hit right on the head. And you know, I will tell you, like when I started in this business, it was like the real start of the decline of the record industry. Like I was just seeing how labels were crumbling and they were all kind of like, you know, becoming parts of bigger labels. You know, they're all now there's really only three. And you know, I like getting into major festivals. We play at a bunch of major festivals and it's about getting these contacts. And so I will tell you from having the experience, if you ever need help, please reach out because you're going to need somebody that's done it. And I will tell you, I didn't have that when I started. And now it's like my Rolodex is crazy. It's like I'm working on another record right now, and I got one of the Rolling Stones, the keyboardist, Chuck Lavelle, to play on. Yeah. But I mean, it's just like what it takes is your like relationship to your fans and making the music that you guys are making and just letting your fans share it, but getting it to them and playing shows and being that like entity that is traveling to, you're like traveling salesman. That's really what it is, you know? So,
right.
And you know,
it's sales.
Yes. Yes. You know, it's like
my, yeah. Well, one thing I was going to say, my father, and this stays with me every single day. My father always told me, it's not about who you know, it's about who knows you.
Right.
And that has never been more true in this business. I was talking to somebody that we studied under the same person in New York, and he just calls me up one day. He's the saxophonist for Southside Johnny. And he calls me up one day and he goes, "We're playing in Jersey. You want to play?" And I was like, "You remember me? I didn't ask you. Like, right. You knew who right. I was." And that was like, that sticks with me now every single day of it's not about who you know. It doesn't matter who you know. Who knows you? And so now I'm thinking about Mindy Hebert knowing me as the girl who
that's
lovely. But, you know.
Let's play something else. What do you want to play next?
So we actually did a cover, a Silk Sonic cover with an amazing artist in Kansas City. His name's Kadesh Flo. He's a rapper and a trombone player and just an overall amazing musician. So we had to do this cover. It was just perfect and in our wheelhouse. So.
Which song is it?
Fly Is Me.
Okay. Here's Fly Is Me by Glass Bandit.
One, two, and you want it.
We're gonna talk to y'all for a little bit. Okay, now have you ever been with a player? Take you downtown where they treat you like the mayor. Take you to the crib, we can take it upstairs.
What's upstairs?
Yeah, I'ma show you later. Don't need a spatula, everything catered. Extra flavor, go ahead, sprinkle some truffle on your mashed potatoes. I'm kind of love, you gonna love me back? You only get what you give, ain't you heard of that? Look here.
I don't ask for much.
You know what I want, baby. Look. Now Glass Bandit smooth like a Mac, float like a butterfly on every single track, and the only language that I speak, girl, is fact. So once I give this game to you, I can't take it back. Hollering at you from a 1977 Monte Carlo, hard act to follow. It's showtime, partner, boo you up like it's the Apollo. Your walk is vicious, let's get down to business. You and me together, ooh, that's something different. Come on.
I don't ask for much.
I really don't, girl. I don't. We'll be right back.
That was slamming. My goodness. Man.
I love Silk Sonic so much.
They are so slamming. And you know what? What's crazy is I've seen Anderson .Paak live. I saw him at Coachella, and he's unbelievable. And, you know, there was one time we opened for Ray LaMontagne at Summerfest in Milwaukee. And next to us was Bruno Mars, okay? And he was playing in like, the amphitheater right next door to us. So we were playing, and every time the band stopped, I didn't know it was Bruno Mars at the time. There was this funky band just jamming every time we stopped. And I was like, I literally yelled in the middle of our set. Nobody heard, but I mean, the stage manager was like, who's playing next door? And the stage manager was like, that's Bruno Mars. And so my horn player at the time, he passed away recently, but he knew some of the horn players that were playing with Bruno, and he came back afterwards. And I have like a rule, like if I open for somebody, I'm going to stay and watch their set always, you know? So like, he was like, yo, I'm going to check out Bruno. I'm like, do it. And he came back and he was like, you've got to see Bruno Mars. So I came back from Milwaukee and flew to Vegas, or drove to Vegas, sorry. And, saw him play in Vegas, and it blew my mind. So I've seen him like 3 or 4 times. He is unbelievable. And Anderson .Paak is unbelievable. And that record is unbelievable. And I've been waiting for it to come out, you know, because they waited forever to release it.
It was like a year or something, like a year and a half.
So silly. But I mean, they knew what they were doing because it's hotcakes. I mean, it is such a good record. And I love that you covered it. That was a great version. You guys jammed. Thank you.
We heard, I think it was, which of the first was come out, Leave the Door Open came out first, and all of us immediately were just like, dude, what just happened? Like, this isn't a pop record. What is this? Like,
we
listen to like Wolfpack and Lawrence, and we're used to these kind of funk records, but we were like, wait, this is gonna be popular. What? And then Flies Me came out, and then I think it was 777, and we were like, yep, we're playing this. There's no question. And I think we covered it, like, I think it was like a week after it came out.
Wow.
And we did it on TikTok first, and it went viral. Wow. And so we were like, okay, we'll cut the whole thing. And I mean, you heard Kadesh is an incredible rapper and an amazing trombone player. So,
it's like while he's, you know, he's blowing a bone solo, I see you in the back. You're just like, yeah, like, you know, it's so cool. I love seeing bands jam like that. It just makes me joyful about music, especially, you know, I know I always say I'm like the old guy on the spectrum, but when I see new bands doing that, it's like, thank God, because so much music, and I know you feel this. I know you can relate to this. So much new music sounds homogenous. It sounds the same to me. It's like it all is trying to sound identical. And what I love about the 70s, 80s, and 90s, really, and the early 2000s, everything was so vast and different, and there was room for everything. And it's music is losing that a little bit. So when I see a band that's like jamming, and it's funky, and it's like trained in jazz and technique, it's like, yes, I wish more people would listen to more bands like that, because that is what is the most talented and the most impressive music to me, you know?
And real instruments. That's the key. Real instruments.
Print style. Well, let's play something. Yes. We're running out of time. What do you want to play last?
Yeah, so it's this song called Warriors, and it's my favorite single off of our EP and about to be off our new album. And it's just like a very confident, uplifting song. So
awesome.
This is my favorite song, Warriors.
Sweet. Here's Glass Bandit with Warriors.
The way now.
today. It's true. Here come the renegades, trying to bring us back to good old days. We did backwards ever on, but they say they don't take for granted seeds of doubt they haven't planted. Into the battle there to their doorstep.
Tunes, it's so good. It's so good. You have to tell me when you play LA. You have to tell me when you play LA. I mean,
hopefully soon. Yeah, I would love to.
We're gonna have to do a show together at some point, either in Kansas or Los Angeles. We're gonna have to make this happen because you guys jam and you guys just, you sound hot. It's awesome. It's great. It's
just thank you. Thank you so much.
So tell me, what is next for you guys? Are you guys playing shows? Where can people find you online? Where is this band going?
Yeah, so actually in about 2.5 weeks, we're moving to Austin, Texas.
Awesome.
To be in the live music capital of the world.
Wow.
You know, you got to.
Awesome. Yeah,
the whole band is going. And so we're going to be doing some shows in Texas. And you can find us on Instagram at Glass Bandit Music. We have a website, glassbanditmusic.com. And that'll have links to all our socials. And yeah, please write a message. Please reach out to us. We love hearing from people. So, yeah. So, next step is Austin, Texas in 2 weeks.
That's amazing. And you guys are moving there? Like, the whole band is moving there?
We're permanently going to be in Austin.
That is awesome. Well, anytime I go to South by Southwest, I know I'll be finding you. And I have a couple friends that play in a funk band that I need to link. Do you know Akina Adderley by chance?
I don't, but I'm always happy to make friends.
All right, I'm going to have to. Akina and I used to sing together as kids. She's in a funk band in Austin, Texas. I'm going to have to link
her.
So I'll send you that. But for now, I'm going to have you guys back on about 9 or 10 months because I want to know what's going on with the band. Thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. Your music is slamming. It is
it takes so much.
Susie knew what she was referencing and referring me to because it jams and you're awesome. So I hope you guys keep doing your thing. We're going to have you back on again. And on behalf of Sam, myself, and Allie, we'll see you guys next week. And thanks for tuning in. Peace and love, people.
Listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.